The reading today is in your Bibles on page 1172, and we're reading from Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, and I think it probably will come up here, yes. But if you open your Bibles, it might be useful for when the preaching is here. So verse 16, Galatians chapter 5. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Thank you very much, Susan, for reading. As we come to God's word, let me ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Let me give you great thanks because your word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It can cut right down deep into our souls and our hearts. And we do pray that by your Spirit, your word would get to work in our hearts this morning. Would you help us to see the great freedom that we've received in the Lord Jesus? And would you help us by your Spirit to respond rightly? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a song, a contemporary song, which has the lyrics, I said I'm free, free to do what I want. Any old time, I said, love me, hold me, love me, because I'm free. I'm free, free to do what I want. Any old time. If you're wondering, the song's called Free, and it's by an artist called Dua Lipa. And, of course, she wants the world to know that she is free. Free to do what she wants. The theme of freedom is also a key theme in the book of Galatians, and it's profoundly related to our series in the fruit of the Spirit. Back in verse 1 of chapter 5, Paul says this. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then in verse 13 he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. In one sense, he conveys that the Christian life is all about freedom. But is it the kind of freedom that our world would recognize today? Is it the kind of freedom, as Dua Lipa says, is a freedom to do what I want? Last week we thought about what it looks like not to lose our freedom if we are justified in Christ, if Jesus has done all that God requires for us to be right with him, then we're not to return to a life which, in a sense, seeks to justify ourselves before God. We're not to swap our freedom in Christ for a set of rules and regulations. Because when we do that, verse 4 of chapter 5, we risk alienating ourselves from the work of Christ for us and falling away from grace. If you like, one way to fall off the horse is by going back to the works of the law and losing our freedom. And in our passage this morning, really from verse 13 onwards, Paul says, don't fall off the horse on the other side by abusing your freedom and indulging the flesh. Don't lose your gospel freedom by returning to the works of the law. Equally, don't abuse your gospel freedom by indulging the flesh. So, what does gospel freedom mean? Well, I want to suggest three things I think it means for us this morning. Firstly, gospel freedom means that we are led by the Spirit. Gospel freedom means that we are led by the Spirit. In our passage this morning, there are five different statements about the Spirit. Verse 16, live by the Spirit. And then verse 18, be led by the Spirit. And then verse 22, fruit of the Spirit. And then twice in verse 25, live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. There is a sense that gospel freedom, the gospel freedom that Paul speaks of in verse 1, and life by the Spirit, they go together. Back in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is kind of admonishing the Christians in Galatia who received the Spirit as a gift through faith in Christ, but were then turning away from this gift and were instead being encouraged to follow particular laws and customs in order to live the Christian life. And Paul warns them strongly. He says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, are you so foolish? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? In a sense, he's echoing the sentiment that God doesn't just kickstart our Christian lives with the Spirit, and then after a while, it's up to us to finish in our own efforts. Paul says, no, that's not how the Christian life works. You don't start the Christian life with the Spirit and then finish in your own effort. No, the amazing gift of God, of grace, is that the same Spirit that helps us to come to faith, it's the same Spirit that helps us to live by faith, to live out our freedom in Christ. As Christians, we begin and continue our Christian lives with the Spirit. And so Paul says, live by the Spirit. Don't turn away from this amazing gift you've received in Christ. And he says that firstly because, well, those who live by the Spirit are able to say no to the flesh. Verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. As Christians, when we live by the Spirit, sin no longer stands unopposed in our life in a way it once did. We can now say no to the flesh because we're no longer slaves to sin. Last week, we heard that the flesh is simply another way of referring to our sinful nature. The flesh is what we were by natural birth before being born again by the Spirit. If you take away the H from flesh, the word flesh, and spell it backwards, you have the word self. Gospel freedom now means we can say no to self, to the sinful self, because the Spirit of God now lives in us. However, saying no to the flesh is a battle. Verse 17. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. The flesh and the Spirit are in conflict with each other. There is a battle every day to live by the Spirit of Christ. the flesh, our old master, will often call us and say to us, I'm still here. Come on, give in to me. And because there's so much memory and muscle instinct in us, we'll often feel the need to obey its call and give in to the flesh. Have we got the slides up? So, so if you like, our flesh, have you got it?
Yeah.
Just bear with us one moment. It's worth the wait. If you just present.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Can you just click onto the first slide?
Yes.
Thank you. There we go. You click onto the first slide that says flesh. Thanks. There we go. So if you like, this slide represents our flesh and how we want to live by nature. We want to live for ourselves and leave God out of the picture. And so this is a slide that represents us before we became Christians. Next slide. Now this second slide, this represents what happens when we become Christians. We started on the bottom and could only live like that because that was our nature by birth. But when the gospel is preached and the Spirit gets to work in us and helps us to see all that Jesus has done for us on the cross, we now belong on the top line, on the green line. We have new desires. Now, in an ideal world, we would just be on that top line, the green line. But we know that that's not the case, this side of eternity. We're changed, but we're not sinless. There is a battle, ongoing battle between our old selves, the flesh, and our new selves, which is led by the Spirit. Becoming a Christian doesn't get rid of temptation. We still have the old desires. But the Holy Spirit now gives us new desires. And as we keep in step with the Spirit, we're led to choose our new desires. And as we're led to do so, the Spirit puts us in a place of strength, a place of the law, which puts us in a place of weakness. That's what verse 18 is getting at. Verse 18 says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. You see, when we were under the law instead of the Spirit, we were in a place of curse and weakness. Galatians chapter 3, a few pages back, verse 10, Paul says, those who rely on the works of the law are under a curse because they can never fulfill the law's requirements and its demands. Those who live under the law are also in a place of weakness. You see, the law promised, but the law could never deliver. The law can tell us how to live, but it does not have the power to transform us so that we can live in the way it tells us to. I'll give you an example. Last year, November, I was setting out to drive to the Lake District to catch up with some friends. And as I got into the car, I put the directions in Google Maps, modern version of A to Z, if you like. And I put it where it was supposed to be, in my phone. And as I wanted to start the car, I tried to, but the car would not start. I had a completely flat battery. It was dead. Now, in as much as Google Maps could tell me where to go, it could not get me there. I had to call breakdown cover. Google Maps did not have the power to start the dead car, even though it could tell me where to go and how to get there. The law is a great gift from God, which tells us what God is like and how we're to live for him. But the law has no power to transform us to live like how we should. And so those under the law have no power in them and are therefore in a place of weakness. In order for that inner transformation that we want, we desire, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to live inside of us and to lead us. So, gospel freedom means we're no longer in a place of curse or weakness, no longer under law, because we now have the Spirit that transforms us and helps us to live for God. Secondly, gospel freedom means the opposite of living by the flesh. Gospel freedom means the opposite of living by the flesh. Well, because the Spirit and the flesh are opposed. Verse 17, they're in conflict with each other. Now, one of the criticisms of justification by faith alone, which has been a big theme in Galatians, is that if you tell people they're not to rely on works of the law before God, well, then people are just going to live how they want. The language of freedom can be misleading. Some say it cuts off the nerve to a moral life before God. This kind of teaching might tempt Christians to think, well, it's okay to do what we want, even to the point of sinning and indulging the flesh. If you like, we might take advantage of the grace of God to us. And I think Paul would say, if you think that, then you've just misunderstood the gift of salvation. You see, Jesus doesn't just pay for our sins on the cross. No, Jesus also breaks the power of sin in our lives. They come together. When we come to Christ, when we accept him as our Lord and Saviour, his Spirit now gets to work in us in such a way that we no longer desire to please the flesh. Both payment for our sins and breaking the power of sin, they always come together. If you're a Christian here this morning, then Jesus, he just has set you free from doing what you want when it comes to the flesh. And so if we live in such a way that verses 19 to 21 don't make us feel uncomfortable, don't rub us up the wrong way, if we abuse our Christian freedom, then maybe it's because we're still on that bottom line. Don't know if we have that slide again. Still on that bottom line, beholden to the flesh. Verses 19 to 21, if you like, detail a life lived under the power of the flesh. The first three have to do with works of the flesh in the area of sexuality. It covers the ground for both the unmarried and the married persons. And the next two, idolatry and witchcraft, are works of the flesh, which manifest itself in a desire to be in touch with the spiritual realm. Instead of worshipping God in the way he's revealed himself to us through his Son, we reject him and turn to idols, to created means instead. And then the eight things listed in verses 20, from hatred to factions, are to do with society and how we relate to each other. You can kind of split them into two groups. So we see four destructive attitudes: selfish ambition, jealousy, envy, and hatred. And then we see the consequences of these attitudes in our relationships: discord, dissensions, fits of rage, and factions. And then the last two, drunkenness and orgies, both refer to when we misuse created things such as food and alcohol in such a way that it becomes destructive and addictive to us. Paul says, if we are led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, we're free to no longer live in a way that indulges the acts of the flesh in these verses 19 to 21. And yet, of course, as Christians, we're not immune from these things, are we? We'll often slip up. Paul isn't saying once we become Christians, we no longer struggle with sinful desires. No. True Christianity is a daily fight with the flesh and its desires. Let me repeat that. True Christianity is a daily fight with the flesh and its desires. As Christians, we're always unhappy sinners. Whenever we sin, our new nature, led by the Spirit, hates it, loathes it. And so if you like, verse 21 isn't calling into question the salvation of the Christian who battles sin daily. Next slide. No, this warning is kind of describing someone who happily lives like this in verses 19 to 21. Kind of unrepentant and unchanged by the Spirit. It's a warning. The person who is at peace with a sinful life will not inherit the kingdom of God. I suppose it's a warning for us as Christians this morning. If we are at peace with a particular sin in our lives, if it doesn't rob us up the wrong way when we are stuck in a particular sin, then let's receive the challenge this morning to resume the fight. Don't be at peace with sin in your life. Christ has set us free, and we're to live out this freedom daily by putting sin to death daily. So, gospel freedom, it means that we're led by the Spirit. And gospel freedom means that we live in a way that's opposite to the flesh. And lastly, gospel freedom always produces fruit, which helps us to serve each other. Gospel freedom always produces fruit, which helps us to serve each other. We spent the last kind of 9 weeks looking at the fruit of the Spirit, what we can expect when God's Holy Spirit gets to work in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the list goes on. However, it is interesting, isn't it, that the first application of the Spirit's work in us is relational. Look at verse 26. After Paul says, "Let us keep in step with the Spirit," he says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." Growth in the fruit of the Spirit is not only meant to be worked out privately, no, rather, the sign that the Spirit is at work in us will tend to primarily show itself in how we relate to each other. Back in verse 13 of chapter 5, a key verse, I think, Paul says this. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." When Jesus sets us free, he does so partly so that we can serve one another. I started off by quoting from contemporary singer Dua Lipa, who says, "I'm free, free to do what I want." Not the Christian. The Christian is set free not to do what he or she wants, but the Christian is set free to be a servant of another. The Christian is set free to serve God, our Creator, and we're set free to serve each other. And it's only as the Spirit gets to work in us, growing us in the fruit of the Spirit, that we'll have the right qualities to use our freedom properly in serving each other as we gather together. Gospel freedom is profoundly relational. That's why we need the fruit of the Spirit to produce those character qualities that help us to serve each other humbly in love. And I think that's why the first fruit of the Spirit is love. As we understand that God has saved us completely in Christ, and we don't need to contribute to our salvation, we're set free from a life of law, and we're able to move into a life of love. Love for God and love for neighbour. As the Spirit grows us in love, we're free to love others when they seem unlovable. Because, well, Jesus died for us when we were unlovable. when we're led by the Spirit, we're able to be kind and generous to others because we know how much God has given us in Jesus Christ. When we're led by the Spirit, we're able to grow in self-control because we allow God to now lead us by His Spirit instead of living for our former selfish nature. Gospel freedom always produces fruit in us that helps us to serve each other. However, one thing to note as I finish off is this. The Christian life isn't a matter of sitting back and letting the Holy Spirit get to work in us to do His thing. No, the Spirit lives in us and drives us to live to please God. But just like any other fruit that we might have in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit needs to be nourished. We're to be committed to making daily choices that will nourish the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that's why Paul says in verse 25, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step. Now, what does it look like to keep in step with the Spirit? Well, firstly, it's the trust that what Jesus has done for us is completely sufficient for us in our Christian lives. That we can trust that what Jesus has done for us is completely sufficient to live our Christian lives. Every day we're to trust that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ that we need to combat sin, to relate to each other. As we look to Jesus and His word, as we come to Him in prayer, asking for His help, we're keeping in step with the Spirit. And secondly, we're not to be bystanders in the fight against sin in our lives. Keeping in step with the Spirit is a choice. Every day we have a choice. And one of the choices we're to make on a daily basis is our ongoing commitment to fighting sin, to crucifying it. In verse 24, Paul reminds us that as Christians, we have been crucified with Christ. A crucifixion was reserved for the worst criminals in the Roman world. The language of crucifixion is to encourage us to see that the flesh is so evil, so pernicious, that it deserves the worst punishment, crucifixion. As Christians, we're to give our sins the worst punishment on a daily basis by crucifying it. I suppose a good question to ask on a daily basis might be this. How can I be committed to fighting sin in my life today? If I want to keep in step with the Spirit, how can I be committed to fighting sin in my life today? It will vary for all of us, different walks of life. But one thing we'll all have in common is this, as Christians. In our daily battle with the flesh, we can be assured that we're never alone in the fight. Because the Spirit of God now lives in us and gives us new desires. There's a quote by John Newton. He says this, "I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am what I am. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am." It's just a quote that captures the sense that by the grace of God, we never remain the same when we come to Christ. His Spirit gets to work in us, changing us every day. And just like fruit is slow to grow, it's a gradual process. And that will be the same for us in our Christian lives. Growth will be gradual, but it will be inevitable because the grace of God has come to us and His Spirit now lives in us, leading us every single day as we fight sin, as we commit to serving each other in the Lord's strength. What a joy to behold it. Let me lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great news of the gospel. We thank you for this great freedom that we've received in the Lord Jesus. Thank you because when we come to Christ, he pays for our sins, paid for our sins on the cross through his death. And he also breaks the power of sin in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. Heavenly Father, thank you because when that happens, his Spirit comes to live in us and helps us to live out our freedom in a way that pleases you and in a way that serves others. And we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, which will now come to bear in our lives, which is a reality for us. Please would you help us to really be committed to growing in these qualities as we seek to live for you, as we seek to keep in step with the Spirit. Please help us to have a daily commitment to killing the sin that remains in our lives. Please help us to be committed to trusting in the Lord Jesus, that all we need to live for you, we have in him. And we thank you for this great freedom that we've received. Please would you help us to know what it looks like to use it properly in our lives each and every single day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.